Then Brother John joined his hands, thanking God for having permitted him to end the long journey of this present miserable life in the arms of Jesus, to whom he confided his soul, passing from this mortal life to life eternal with Christ, the Blessed One, whom he had so long awaited and desired to see. The said Brother John was buried in the convent della Pina di San Giovanni. Chapter 46. How Brother Pacifico, being in prayer, saw the soul of Brother Umile, his brother in the flesh, go up to heaven. There were two brothers of the province of Ancona who entered the order after the death of St. Francis. One was named Brother Umile, and the other Brother Pacifico, both of whom attained a great degree of perfection and sanctity. Brother Umile lived in the convent of Sofiano, and there he died. Brother Pacifico lived in another convent at some distance. It pleased God that Brother Pacifico, being one day in prayer in a solitary place, was wrapped in ecstasy and saw the soul of his brother, which had just left his body, go straight to heaven without any hindrance. Many years after this, Brother Pacifico was sent to the convent of Sofiano, where his brother had died at the time when the friars, at the demands of the Lords of Bruford, changed their convent for another and were removing the remains of the holy brothers who had died there. Then the grave of Brother Umile was opened. His brother took his bones, and having washed them in wine, wrapped them carefully in a white napkin, and weeping over them, kissed them with great devotion. The other brothers were much surprised that he should set them such bad example, for they could not understand how a man so holy could show such carnal affection towards his brother, honoring his remains so far above those of the other friars, who, not being less holy than Brother Umile, were worthy of like honor. Then Brother Pacifico, knowing how he was misjudged by the brethren, humbly explained to them his conduct, saying, "My most dear brothers, be not surprised if I honor the bones of my brother above those of the other friars, for thanks be to God, it is not through carnal affection that I do this, but because when my brother left this life, I was praying in a solitary place, very far from the convent where he lay dead, and I saw his soul go straight to heaven. Wherefore I am sure that his bones are holy and will be honored in heaven. If the Lord had revealed to me the same things of the other friars, I would treat their bones also with equal reverence." Then the brethren, being convinced that his intentions were holy and just, were greatly edified by what he had told them, and praised God who did such wonderful things for his holy friars. Chapter 47. Of a holy brother to whom the Mother of Christ appeared when he was ill, and brought him 3 vases of healing ointment. In the above-mentioned convent of Sofiano, there lived formerly a friar minor, so holy that he appeared to be almost supernatural, and he was often wrapped in God. He possessed the grace of contemplation in a notable degree, and often when he was ravished and raised above the earth in ecstasy, all kinds of birds used to come and perch on his head, his arms, and his hands, singing most wonderfully. He was very fond of solitude and rarely spoke. But when anyone asked him a question, he answered so wisely and so graciously that he seemed to be an angel rather than a mortal. He was a man wholly devoted to prayer and contemplation, and the brothers held him in great reverence. Having finished the course of his virtuous life, it was the will of God that he should fall dangerously ill, so that he could take no nourishment, and he refused all human remedies, placing all his hope in the celestial physician, Jesus Christ, the Blessed One, and his divine mother, by whom through the mercy of God he was visited and healed. For as he was lying on his bed preparing for death with all his heart and with great devotion, the glorious Virgin Mary, Mother of Christ, appeared to him with a great multitude of angels and holy virgins, and surrounded by much splendor. She approached his bed, and on seeing her, he experienced the greatest comfort and joy both in soul and body, and began to pray to her humbly, to ask of her divine Son to deliver his soul from this miserable prison of flesh. As he persevered in prayer with many tears, the Virgin Mary called him by his name, saying to him, "My son, have no doubts, for thy prayer is granted, and I am come to comfort thee a little before thou leavest this world." By the side of the Virgin Mary there stood three holy virgins, holding in their hands three vases filled with a sweet ointment. And the Virgin Mary, taking one of the vases, opened it, when all the house was filled with the odor thereof. Then, taking a spoonful of the contents, she gave it to the sick brother. No sooner had he tasted it than he experienced so sweet a sensation that it seemed as if his soul could no longer remain in his body. And he cried out, "No more, O Blessed Virgin Mary, no more, O Blessed Physician, whose pleasure it is to save the human race from perishing, I cannot endure such sweetness." But the compassionate Mother of God continued to give him the ointment until the vase was emptied. The first vase being emptied, the Blessed Virgin took the second, was about to give him the contents. But he said, "O Blessed Mother of God, if my soul is, as it were, melted by the sweetness and virtue of the ointment thou hast already given me, how shall I ever be able to support the effect of a second vase? I pray thee, O Virgin, blessed above all the saints and all the angels, not to give me any more." The glorious Virgin Mary answered, "Taste, my son, a little of the second vase." And having given him a little, she said, "Thou hast sufficient, my son, for today. Soon I will come again to conduct thee to the kingdom of my son, whom thou hast ever sought and desired." And having said these words, she took leave of him and departed. And the brother was so strengthened and comforted by the medicine she had given him that he lived for several days in perfect health, without taking any nourishment. Shortly after, as he was talking gaily with the brethren, he passed from this miserable life most joyfully. Chapter 48. How Brother James Della Mesa saw in a vision all the friars minor in the world in the form of a tree, and how the virtues, the merits, and the vices of all were made known to him. Brother James Della Mesa, to whom the Lord revealed many secrets, and to whom he gave a perfect knowledge of the Holy Scriptures and of the future, was so holy that Brother Giles of Assisi, Brother Mark of Montino, Brother Juniper, and Brother Lucido said of him that they knew no one in the world who was greater in the sight of God than this Brother James. I had a great wish to see him, for having asked Brother John, the companion of Brother Giles, to explain to me certain spiritual things, he said to me, "If thou wilt be well directed in things spiritual, try to speak with Brother James Della Mesa. For his words being the words of the Holy Spirit, one can neither add to nor take away from them anything, and there is not a man on earth whom I have greater wish to see." When Brother John of Parma was minister of the convent, this Brother James was once in prayer, ravished in God, remaining for 3 days in ecstasy, quite insensible to all bodily feeling, so that the brethren thought him to be dead. And during this ecstasy, many things with regard to the order were revealed to him. Having learnt this, my wish to speak to him and to hear him greatly increased. When the Lord permitted me to see him, I thus addressed him, "If that which I have heard of thee be true, I pray thee not to conceal it from me. I have heard that when thou wast 3 days, as if thou hadst been dead, the Lord revealed to thee, amongst other things, what was to take place in our order. And this was told me by Brother Matthew, to whom thou didst reveal it out of obedience." Brother James confessed most humbly that what Brother Matthew had said was true. "Now this is what Brother Matthew told me. I know a brother to whom the Lord has made known that which will take place in our order. For Brother James Della Mesa had told me that, after the Lord had revealed to him many things concerning the church militant, he saw in a vision a large and beautiful tree, the root of which was of gold, and all the branches were men. And these men were all friars minor, and there were as many large branches as there were provinces in the order. And each branch was composed of as many brethren as there were friars in every province. And he was informed of the number of the friars in the order and in each province, with their names, their ages, their rank, and the different offices they filled. Also their various merits and defects. And he saw Brother John of Parma at the summit of the highest branch of the tree. And round him were the ministers of each province. And he saw Christ the Blessed One sitting on a throne, who, calling St. Francis to him, gave him a chalice full of the Spirit of Life, saying, 'Go to thy brothers and give them to drink of this Spirit of Life, as Satan will rise up against them, and many will fall and not rise again.' And Christ the Blessed One gave to St. Francis two angels to accompany him. And St. Francis took the chalice to his brothers and offered it first to Brother John of Parma, who, taking it, drank all its contents in haste, but with great reverence, and having done so, he became luminous like the sun. After him, St. Francis offered it to all the others, and very few there were who took it and drank with devotion. Those who did so were filled with light like the sun, but those who took the chalice and threw away its contents most irreverently became black and deformed and horrible to look at. Those who drank a part of the contents and threw away the rest were partly bright and partly dark, in proportion to the quantity they drank or threw away. The brightest of all was the said Brother John, who, having drained to the dregs the cup of life, had seen by the aid of a celestial light the tempests and troubles which were about to rise against the tree, shaking and tearing its branches, for which reason the said Brother John left the top of the tree where he was, and placing himself under its branches, hid himself close to the roots. A brother who had drunk some and thrown some of the contents away took possession of the place on the branch he had left. No sooner was he there than the nails of his fingers became like points of iron. On seeing this, he hastened to leave the place he had taken, and in his fury he sought to vent his rage on Brother John. And Brother John, perceiving his intention, cried out to Christ, the Blessed One, who was seated on his throne, to help him. And Christ, hearing his cry, called St. Francis, and giving him a sharp stone, said, "Take this stone, and go and cut the nails of the brother who seeks to tear Brother John, so that he may not be able to do him any harm." And St. Francis did as he was ordered. In the meantime, a great tempest arose, and the wind shook the tree in such a way that all the brethren fell to the ground. Chapter 49. How Christ Appeared to Brother John of Alvernia. Among the learned and holy brethren and sons of St. Francis, who, as Solomon says, form the glory of their father, was the venerable and holy brother John of Fermo, of the province of Ancona, who lived in our times. Having spent the greater part of his life in the holy house of Alvernia, he died there, and was known by the name of Brother John of Alvernia. He was a man of great holiness and great sanctity. This Brother John, when he was a child, greatly loved the ways of penance, which preserved the purity both of the body and of the soul, and at a very tender age he began to wear a belt of iron, and to observe great fasting and abstinence. More especially, he used these mortifications when he was residing with the canons of San Pietro di Fermo, who lived in great luxury. He avoided all pleasures and macerated his body with great severity. His companions, being against such penitential ways, tried by every means to turn him from them, taking from him his instruments of penance and preventing him from fasting. Wherefore the holy child, inspired by God, resolved to leave the world and its worshippers and to put himself in the arms of his crucified Lord, taking the habit of the crucified St. Francis, which he did. Being received into the order so young and confided to the care of the master of the novices, he grew so spiritual and so devout that whenever he heard the said master speak of God, he felt his heart to burn within him, as if it had been on fire, so that it was impossible for him to remain quiet, and he ran to and fro in the garden, in the forest, and even in the church, for so sweet was the sensation he experienced that it seemed to him as if his heart was melted like wax before the fire. As time went on, this holy youth advanced from virtue to virtue, and his soul was adorned and enriched with spiritual gifts. He was often wrapped in ecstasy, so that his mind was raised at times to the splendors of the cherubim, at times to the ardor of the seraphim, and the joys of the beatified. At one time this ecstasy of divine love, which seemed, as it were, to set his heart on fire, lasted for 3 years, and this took place on the holy mountain of Alvernia. But as God takes a special care of his children, sending them at divers times consolation or tribulation, adversity or prosperity, according to their need, in order to preserve in them the grace of humility, or to awaken in their hearts a greater thirst after spiritual things, so it pleased his divine bounty, when the 3 years were ended, to withdraw from Brother John this flame of celestial love and take from him every spiritual consolation. Then was Brother John most disconsolate and sorrowful, and this great trial made him so miserable that he wandered about the forest, crying out with sighs and tears for the beloved spouse of his soul, for without his presence his soul could enjoy neither peace nor rest. Yet nowhere could he find his beloved or recover those sweet spiritual sensations to which the love of Christ had accustomed him. Now this trial lasted several days, during which time he persevered in prayer, weeping and sighing and imploring the Lord to take pity on his soul and restore him to his beloved. At last, his patience having been sufficiently tried, as he was wandering one day sorrowfully in the forest, he sat down, overcome with fatigue. And as he was gazing up to heaven with his eyes full of tears, Jesus Christ, the Blessed One, appeared to him, standing in silence on the path by which he himself had come. Brother John knew him to be the Christ, and throwing himself at his feet, he burst into a flood of tears and thus addressed him, "Help me, O my Lord, for without thee, my sweet Savior, I am all in darkness and sorrow. Without thee, gentle Lamb, I am in anguish and fear. Without thee, Son of the Most High God, I am in confusion and in shame. Without thee, I am despoiled of every good, for thou art Jesus Christ, the true light of my soul. Without thee, I am lost and damned, for thou art the life of souls, the life of life. Without thee, I am sterile and unfruitful, for thou art the foundation of every grace. Without thee, I can have no consolation, for thou, O Jesus, art our Redeemer, our love, our desire, the bread of comfort, the wine which rejoices the hearts of angels and of saints. Enlighten me, O pitying shepherd, for I am thy lamb, albeit most unworthy." When the Lord delays to grant the desires of holy men, their love towards him greatly increaseth. For the which reason Christ the Blessed One left Brother John, going from him without granting his request and without speaking to him. Then Brother John arose and, running after him, threw himself again at his feet, imploring him not to leave him and crying out, "O Jesus Christ, most sweet Savior, have mercy on me in my trouble. By the truth of thy salvation and the multitude of thy mercies, restore to me the joy of thy countenance, and cast upon me a look of pity, for the earth is full of thy mercy." But the Lord Jesus went from him without saying a word or leaving him any consolation. Then Brother John followed him with great fervor. And when he came up to him, Christ the Blessed One turned round, and looking at him most sweetly, he opened his holy and merciful arms and embraced him. And when he opened his arms, Brother John saw rays of light come from his holy bosom, which lighted up all the forest, as well as his own soul and body. Then Brother John knelt down at the feet of Christ, the Blessed One, who, as he had given his foot to Mary Magdalene to kiss, so now gave he it to Brother John. Then Brother John, taking it with great reverence, bathed it with his tears like another Magdalene, saying most devoutly, "I pray thee, my Lord, look not at my sins, but by thy holy passion and my precious blood which thou hast shed, awaken my soul to the grace of thy love. For thou hast commanded us to love thee with all our heart and with all our strength, which commandment none can fulfill without thy help. Help me then, beloved Son of God, that I may love thee with all my heart and all my strength." And as Brother John was thus praying at the feet of Christ, his prayer was granted, and the flame of divine love which he had lost was restored to him, and he felt himself greatly comforted. Then, knowing that the gift of divine grace had been restored to him, he began to return thanks to Christ, the Blessed One, and devoutly to kiss his feet. Then, standing up and looking on the Savior's face, Jesus Christ gave him his holy hands to kiss, and having kissed them, Brother John approached the bosom of Christ and embraced him. Christ, the Blessed One, received him in his arms, and as Brother John embraced the Savior and was embraced by him, the air was filled with the sweetest perfumes, so sweet that no other perfume in the world could be compared with them. Thus was Brother John consoled, enlightened, and wrapped in ecstasy, and this sweet perfume lasted in his soul for many months. And thenceforth from his lips, which had drunk at the fountain of divine wisdom on the sacred bosom of the Savior, there fell most wonderful and celestial words, which changed the hearts of those who heard them, producing